Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Trump's going to work at McDonald's, but don't worry, it's only a temp job. He's still going for president of the United States of America, but he's coming to Philly. He'll be dropping some fries. I like to think we gave him the inspiration to do this. You remember when I had Laura Trump on, we joked about Trumpy and the fry guy. They'd be the crispiest fries ever, many people have said. Welcome to the show! Wednesday, hump day, baby. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. We got a lot to chat about today, as we always do this time of year. We get closer and closer to the election. Trump did a town hall today, hosted by Harris Faulkner on Fox News. And tonight, Kamala Harris is sitting down with Bret Baier. So it's a big Fox News day in the 2024 presidential election. And I have some audio for you from Trump's town hall today with women voters trying to get the female vote. And obviously, we had a debate last night between Dave McCormick and the lesser Casey. This race has tightened up a lot. And everybody's looking at this race now because it's very possible the Senate could flip. All right, we're streaming live on YouTube, so go to the YouTube page right now, youtube.com/1210WPHD. Jump in, join the fun, and engage in the conversation as well. So we'll be doing that this afternoon. We've got some great guests lined up for you. And the story that I love the most today, out of all the stories in all the world, has to do with RFK Jr. and Olivia Nuzzi, because this story just gets crazier and crazier by the minute. And it's just wacky and nutty and rabbit on the stove kind of crazy. And I love a good rabbit on the stove crazy, if you know what I mean. But let's begin, shall we, with what Trump did today talking to the broads, the ladies, as Bernie Sanders would say, the broads. And he's making a couple appeals on things. But the first thing I wanted to mention is that the issue of women's sports came up again today. And the question, of course, is how do you plan on addressing the transgender issue in women's sports? You remember the other day I shared with you a story that this could be the sleeper issue of 2024. And yes, I do think that there's a lot to be said on this point. I'm also going to play you a new ad that the Trump campaign has dropped featuring Charlemagne Da God, the God, in this in the clip, because he's commenting on the Trump ad on transgender inmates in sports. And they've turned that into a political ad. They also made an ad out of Kamala Harris's dumb answer on The View, dumbass answer on The View, when they asked her, would you change a thing? And she said, nothing. I don't think so. And again today, the White House throwing her under the bus when Karine Jean-Pierre said, look, the vice president's been an incredible partner in all of these things. So make no mistake about it. She's been part of the team. So much for her being the change candidate. I got asked a question before I play that clip, but we'll queue up cut number 22. But I got asked a question earlier today on Twitter. I wanted to address at the start of the show, because I always love when I get questions on Twitter. I try to do my best to respond to them, although I could do a much better job, but it's just kind of hard with the kids and whatnot. But somebody asked me a question about a new poll that just dropped, a national poll, and it was Mike who said, Rich, what are your thoughts on today's Marist national poll? That is Harris up 50-46, but they have their likely voter sample at 40D versus 33R and 26% independent. What I would say to you is it's a national poll. Throw it out. It's irrelevant and doesn't matter. National polls are stupid and they mean nothing because you also don't know where you're sampling people from. And even if you're sampling people in swing states, it's very hard to drill that down. So don't worry about national polls. I wouldn't be surprised if every national poll shows Harris winning, because national polls factor in states that are blue. We know those states are lost causes and nobody's losing sleep over them. So I wouldn't really worry about it in any way, shape or form. All right. That said, let's go to the answer that he gave today. This is from Fox News Town Hall, Harris Faulkner hosting. Linda from Georgia got up and started asking some questions today of the former president. We're also going to stream this for you on YouTube so you can watch it. Or listen to it, however you like. Cut 22. Or not. Are we playing it? We got it? I hear nothing. Do you guys hear something? I hear nothing. I hear crickets. Anyone?
The audio version, though, if you want to play that.
Anyone? Bueller?
Kirk, I have the audio version if you want to play that.
You have the audio version, but I just promised everybody the video version.
Evidently, that one's not functioning properly.
I promise the video. All right, we'll do the audio version. We'll try to get the video version for later in the show. How about that? Cut 22.
Up and down the ballot. How many of you are worried about biological men and boys competing against women and girls in sports? Just show me. That's almost the entire. That is the entire room. And I know you have a question.
I do.
By the way, excuse me. It's so crazy.
It's so crazy. It is crazy.
Your question, yes. Your name and your hometown.
My name is Linda, and I'm from Milton, Georgia.
Good.
But originally Brooklyn, New York.
Ooh. Brooklyn in the house.
I get
that's
that.
Good.
My question is, how do you plan on addressing the transgender issue in women's sports? I have 9 grandchildren, 6 of them female, all playing sports. And we are very concerned for their safety, not just on the field and the courts, but in their locker rooms as well.
Right. It's such an easy question. And everybody in the room, and you know that answer, we're not going to let it happen. You look, just yesterday, they had a volleyball match. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Where a person that transitioned, okay, we have to be very careful because this can terminate your political career if you say it's slightly off, all right? But transitioned from man to female and was on a volleyball, and I saw the slam. It was a slam. I never saw a ball hit so hard, hit the girl on the head. But other people, even in volleyball, they've been permanently, I mean, they've been really hurt badly, women playing men. But you don't have to do the volleyball. We stop it. We stop it. We absolutely stop it. You can't have it. It's a man playing in the game. I mean, physically, from a muscular state, even if it was a little bit less, maybe they do all sorts of tests and drugs and everything else. Look at what's happened in swimming. Look at the records that are being broken.
So how do you stop it? Do you go to the sports leagues? Do you go to the Olympic
You just
councils?
Ban it. The president bans it. You just don't let it happen. Not a big deal.
And there you go. So I want to play you this campaign commercial where they feature clips of Charlemagne the God reacting to Kamala's most outlandish policies. This is a new ad that just dropped by the Trump team. I think it's great. I really do. It's one of my favorite ads so far this campaign. Cut number 30.
Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners.
Surgery.
For prisoners.
For prisoners. Every transgender inmate in the prison system would have access.
Hell no, I don't want my taxpayer dollars going to that.
Kamala supports transgender sex changes in jail with our money.
Kamala even supports letting biological men compete against our girls in their sports. Kamala is for they, them. President Trump is for you.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
I told you, people were watching this, the commercial of Kamala Harris saying that every transgender prisoner is going to get the surgery, the chop off, the add-on. And they're like, my tax dollars are paying for that? Hell no. My tax dollars are not paying for that. No friggin' way are we doing this. Absolutely not. The other thing, too, on this issue of transgender athletes in sports is another great example of how far kooky the left has gone on an issue that really caters to such a small group of people, if you think about it. But this has been the problem with the left in general, which is that they have been catering to the fringe nutbags. I'll give you this analogy. Think about social media. You think about people that are loud on social media. You think about people that complain. You think about the people that for a while were complaining and forcing corporations to go woke. And it turns out their numbers are very small. They're just loud. They're loud. But they're not, they don't make a big number. They're just loud. And so the mistake that a lot of people make sometimes is they go, well, I mean, if they're speaking this, they must be representative of a larger population. There's no correlation to that. There's people that happen to be loud and they come at you and they come at you very, very hard. And then you get a fear factor thing where you're like, well, I'm afraid I don't want people coming at me. So I'm going to tone this down. But the Democrat Party decided, let's cater to kooks. Let's cater to the kooky people who are like, yeah, listen, a biological male wants to beat the crap out of a woman in boxing. We should let him and we should cheer that on and we should pay for it and we should make this a right and we should. And you're talking about such a fringe group of people. So now they have to walk all this back. And when you're walking this back, you're going to yourself, hang on a second here. Why did you go down this rabbit hole in the first place? If you notice now, they're not doubling down on this. Kamala Harris isn't coming out and saying, I said it then. I say it now. Let's pay for transgender inmate surgery to get it chopped off or added on. She's not doing that. But it's like a lot of the other crazy issues that they supported in the past. They're hiding from them now. But why did they do that in the first place? Why did they go down that rabbit hole of crazy back then? Because it's who they are. And it's who their people are. And they identify with that. It's not just simply a matter of catering to small but loud voices. It's an ideological belief that this is right. This is the right thing to do. That, yes, we should absolutely 100% pay for transgender inmate surgeries. And, yes, we should back biological males who want to compete against women in sports. We should back this because some faculty member in some lounge out there decided, you know what? This is the right thing to do. This is what we got to do. And the Democrat Party jumps on board with that. These are people who are insane with insane ideas and insane policies. But it makes a lot of sense if you sit in the faculty lounge among your peers and you start having conversations like, well, I mean, isn't biology one of those things? It's a construct. Isn't it really a construct anyway? And if you are on the inside, who you want to be and want to live your truth, and let's philosophize over that, over a Keurig K-cup and a latte or whatever, and they have these conversations. In the real world, outside of that, people go, it's friggin' nuts. Like Charlemagne the God speaks for the segment of the population that goes, this is friggin' nuts. This is kooky. This is bat-ass crazy. And then when you factor in and you're paying for it, too. You're paying for it. Now, put yourself in the mind of a black guy who is, he's got little girls, and he's thinking to himself, I'm going to send my girl to school, and she's going to have to compete against biological dudes. And he knows how big these guys are. Or she's going to have to overnight with one of these guys on a field trip somewhere, or I get it, like a sporting contest out of district or something like that. He's like, hell no. And I'm getting up every day and I'm working my butt off and I got to pay for this crap? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. This is the difference between the mindset of being in a faculty lounge and being with people who are real people in real life, in actual real life, not in some Ivy League tower somewhere. It's the difference. And the other thing, too, is that in the Ivy League towers, and I don't mean just Ivy League schools, but just faculty lounges in general, that's where they come up with ideas like reparations. Let's study reparations. They have studied reparations. They would be a disaster. Reparations would be a financial disaster. But also there's a philosophical question that I have, which is you're going to make people who never owned slaves give money to people who were never slaves. Why? And the answer from the faculty lounge perspective is, well, because systemic racism has enabled, and they write papers on it and thesis on this and after thesis. And you go, well, clearly it makes perfect sense. And you go in the real world and people are like, I'm not paying for somebody who wasn't a slave. The hell with that. Screw that. Or then some people that might turn around and go, yeah, I want to take reparations. I want pay me for reparations. Well, guess what? Just because you're black doesn't mean you want to turn around and get reparations, because there are a lot of black people that work, believe it or not, who would have to pay for other people to get reparations. And they're turning around and going, this is crazy. I'm not paying for this. This is nuts. They get it. They understand this point. But when you philosophize all this in the faculty lounge, it on paper makes perfect sense to challenge the systemic capitalist hierarchy of the patriarchy. We must go back and atone for the sins of the past and blah, 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 blah. You go out in the real world and you go, hey, what the hell are you people even talking about? This is the divide between where the Democrat Party is now versus where the Democrat Party was in 2019. But don't be fooled here. It's the same ideas. Because what will happen is if Kamala Harris wins, all the same eggheads that come up with this crap in the faculty lounge will be in the White House coming up with these policies. And they'll be in the bureaucracy. They're already in the bureaucracy. I mean, we're battling these people in the bureaucracy every single day. Where do you think the idea comes from in the EPA where they say, we're going to come up with a ratio where we're going to effectively now, without banning gas-powered cars, for every gas-powered car that's sold, you have to sell a certain number of EVs, and therefore we're going to basically now turn around and eliminate gas cars. Where do you think that comes from? It comes from the same ideological mindset of the left that has decided, like a parasite, let's invade the bureaucracy. And all the nutty positions that we can't pass in Congress because they're nuts, we'll just implement them by executive order. That's where the transgender issue in sports has evolved, has jumped from just simply having ideas about this into actual policy, because the Biden administration, through Title IX, went in there and said, we're going to make all these accommodations, because they're like parasites who go into the bureaucracy and they infect with the same liberal, I didn't say liberal, but lefty, kooky, crackpot ideas that they come up with in the faculty lounge, and they implement it through the executive branch of government. If you stood up on the floor of Congress and you had a debate on this issue, there's no way Congress passes a bill that allows biological men to compete against women in sports. It doesn't happen. It's the same thing with, there's no way Congress passes a bill to ban gas-powered cars unless you have a Democrat supermajority in both branches of government, which at that point, the country's gone to hell anyway, so it really doesn't matter. So you get these policies through the executive branch. That's why this election really matters, and I'm glad Trump is speaking out on this, because other Republicans in the past have been freaking cowards on this issue. They were afraid to tackle this. Like I've been saying for years, I think particularly when it comes to kids, we have to examine the correlation between mental illness and transgenderism. Because whether it's a kid who's crazy, or a kid who is depressed, or a kid who's looking for attention, or a kid who just believes, I think there was a survey recently, 5% of high school kids now say they have gender issues. Like, that's ridiculous. That's not a real number. That's not a real number. But a lot of that is the jump on the train and jump on the attention train, and the kids love all that stuff. And if you think about like what they're teaching our kids too, like I have in my formerly pangolin stained fingers, what's going to be taught at the NJEA convention, which is coming up soon. Yes, soon. And I saw this earlier today and I went, what the hell are we talking about here? Some of their topics, like advocacy, for example, queering the curriculum, equity in identity. Target audience, high school. That's one of the topics. Social justice Shakespeare, let's reimagine the Bard. Another topic is the Black Panther Party you never learned about in school. These are all topics that will be discussed at the upcoming NJEA, New Jersey Education Association convention that happens, where, yes, our kids will not be in school so that all these educators can get together in Atlantic City and get drunk. Because that's what they do. Well, it's what everybody does in Atlantic City. They also have comprehensive health education. And a lot of this, of course, is exactly what you think it is. So Trump tackling this issue on the federal level and saying, I'm going to ban it. What he means is he's going to ban this for any school that gets federal funding. You will not be allowed to have biological dudes participate in women's sports, period. You won't let them. They can't go in the locker room. They can't go and be in the same spaces as women, if those are private spaces, changing rooms, et cetera, bathrooms. That's what he'll do. Because this is all happening via executive fiat anyway. And here's another point to think about, too, on this issue. For so long, people have been afraid, dancing around this issue and going like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to upset people about this. This is kind of sensitive. And there are parents out there who are dealing with these issues, and it's very, very sensitive. And you don't cater to the smallest fringe group. That's not how you win elections. And when you go and you think about how the majority of people feel on this, I got news for you. Charlemagne the God, is not turning around and saying, like, this is crazy that they're doing this stuff, if he didn't think his audience agreed with him, because he's a popular radio host in the Black community. He knows that he's got the pulse of the people who are like, yeah, this is crazy stuff. This is nuts. And I've also told you before that when Republicans are brave enough to confront these issues head on, what they're doing is they're drawing a stark contrast between them and the Democrats. And you win elections on contrast. You don't win elections by trying to be vanilla and French vanilla. You win elections by contrast, going straight in there. And you go in and you say, hey, listen, this is how we're different. And this is how we're going to be different. And this is what we're going to do. And it's the exact same situation when it comes to the climate kookiness, too. The idea of banning gas stoves, banning gas powered cars, whatever it is. And on day one, Trump has the power as the executive to go in there and undo all the craziness that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's administration have put in place. And the wind turbines in the Jersey Shore is another great example of this. This is all happening by executive fiat, whether it's his royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, his dead whales don't vote, dead Democrats do, or it's done by Joe Biden and the National Oceanographic Atmospheric people who are paving the way for this to happen. It begins with the executive. It can be killed by the executive. Look, I wish we lived in a time when the executive branch was not making all these policies and rules, but they are. So that's why this election matters in such a big way, because the so much of the kookiness and nuttiness that we're talking about is being promulgated through rules, not happening because Congress is passing these crazy laws, being promulgated by the executive, and the next executive can go in there and undo what this whack job administration has put into place. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli if you want to weigh in today. The top story of the hour brought to you by Veneria Dental. Dr. Mike Veneria, the master of implant dentistry and named top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. Schedule your free implant consultation today by calling 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020. Coming up, Donald Trump says he's going to work at McDonald's. Fannie Willis wants to reinstate charges against Donald Trump in Georgia. And what's happening with the Board of Elections in Georgia after that judge's ruling yesterday? How concerned should we be? Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I got a question for our YouTube streaming audience today and also on social media as well. I got a buddy who's dating a woman who's nuts. Not, I don't know if as nuts as Olivia Nuzzi, but definitely in the same wheelhouse of crazy. I wanted to come up with some crazy songs about crazy people that I could share. And then, you know, be like, you know, this goes out to, I'll use a hypothetical name, you know, Brian. That's not Brian, but, and play psycho songs. You know what I mean? And then maybe he'll hear it and take the warning. So I need some good songs about crazy people. Particularly crazy chicks, crazy women. Let's be honest. Let's just call it what it is. Crazy chicks. Psychos. You know what I mean? Like, now, like, DeSantis' fake girlfriend is not psycho, and Justin's fake girlfriend's not psycho. So you guys can't, you know, you're both fake dating very normal women. But if you were fake dating a psycho or an ex, like maybe you have a fake ex-girlfriend who was crazy. You know what I mean?
When in doubt, you got Man Eater by Hall and Oates.
Got Man Eater? Yeah. That's a good one. I like that. She's a man eater. That's a good one. That's a good one. All right. Psycho killer, but I'm not saying she's a killer. She could kill you though. It could kill you. Very possible. Very, very possible. Just throwing it out there. Food for thought.
Killer Queen's another good one.
Which one?
Killer Queen.
Oh, yes. All right. We just gotta make sure none of them cause copyright issues on YouTube so that we don't get flagged.
Queen's been pretty good to us, so I think we're fine with that. And I think I've played a Hall & Oates song before, so I think we're good on that, too.
Excellent. Well done. We're just not going to do the Beatles or AC/DC anymore. They seem to be the issues that clog up our show. And then YouTube takes it down, and then people can't watch it, and then our view numbers are down, and it gets, you know, makes us all cranky. So we're not going to do that anymore. Let us play this clip for you. We got the video up and running here. This is good stuff. This is now let's see here. I got this right here. Yes, yes, yes. Government eager to censor. This is John Stossel until they get caught. I'm not going to play the whole clip. I just want to share a little bit with you about this. I love John Stossel. He's one of my favorites. And this is a video report from him. And I think this is really good. We talk about on this program that this is a battle for information. We are in, that is what this battle's all about, information, the control of information. And what I love about this is he includes Nina Jankowicz, the failed musical theater actress, singing. All right, she's got a terrible voice and she's a giant goofball. But it really goes to show what I mean about how the government, corporate media, and big tech, the unholy triad, all work together to censor information. But you should know, today, Jason Bateman, who I like as an actor very much, I think he's funny, but he got rid of his Tesla because of Elon Musk. I was joking about this with Jimmy Fallon. We were joking about the fact that Elon Musk made Tesla something that everybody could have, the electric car, something that everybody could afford. And the left hates him so much because he allows free speech on Twitter. Now they really hate him because he's backing Donald Trump. He's actually in Pennsylvania campaigning for Trump right now as we speak. that they're giving up their Teslas. They're selling their Teslas as a show of protest against Elon Musk. This is crazy. I'm not even going to drive the car because the founder of the company is backing someone different for president. That's what he said. But anyway, here's a little bit of John Stossel. I love when he gets into this in some detail here. Cut 14.
You better not say that. That's what we reporters covering COVID were told. There are certain things you must not say. For example, MSNBC told us.
From a certain corner of the right is this theory that the coronavirus, quote, escaped from the lab.
Escaped the lab? How ignorant. Everyone knows it wasn't made in a lab.
This coronavirus was not man-made. That is not a possibility.
And mere debate about that, we were told, posed a new threat.
Not the virus itself, but misinformation.
Many media decided it's our job to make certain theories disappear.
One theory that just won't go away is that this virus came from a Chinese lab.
Facebook totally banned this false claim, but now the FBI director says COVID's origin is
most likely a potential lab incident in Wuhan.
The Department of Energy has concluded COVID-19 likely came from a lab leak in China.
So did the smug media apologize and say we shouldn't be in the censoring business? No, they just ignore what they did. The closest to an admission of guilt we found was this from Chris Hayes.
I have to say, there's a kernel of truth, the idea that some folks were too quick to shut down the lab leak theory.
Media imposed similar bans on what you could say about masks when Senator Rand Paul made this true statement.
The masks don't work very well, particularly the cloth mask.
YouTube suspended him. And Facebook throttled the reporting of science journalist John Tierney when he pushed back against forcing kids to wear masks.
More than 10,000 parents said that masks were giving their kids headaches, making it harder for them to concentrate.
Partly false, said Facebook while cutting him off. Yet now, a lot of science says wearing masks
probably makes little or no difference.
Perhaps the most blatant case was the media's claim that the New York Post scoop about Hunter Biden's emails just could not be true.
We're supposed to believe that Hunter Biden and
Andrew. Let's pause it right there. So we talked about the COVID misinformation, the lab leak. And, you know, if you were listening to the show back in 2020, you know that I was all over the lab leak theory. The lab leak truth. I was there early on in February saying, no question about it, this came from an undercooked bat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli. All right? But then by March, I was all in on the idea this came from a lab. Just kidding, I was always from the idea that it came from a lab. It was a Chinese bioweapon. But the government and the media and big tech all worked together to push a narrative. And when I mean the government, I mean the CIA was involved in this too. The CIA was involved in covering up the lab leak origin. Why? Why? You have to ask yourself. All right. Now, that's the first part about this I want to bring up. Because there's a question. What if China did create a virus in a lab, which they did, with the Chinese military, which they did? And what if they unleashed it in the world because they wanted to hurt Donald Trump and his reelection chances? Remember, the first cases of COVID came out in Wuhan, China in 2019. That's why it's COVID-19. And it happened in Wuhan during the military World Games. Why is that? I mean, is that just a coincidence? That's the day that the scientist one day walked out of there with COVID under his shoe, went over to the wet market, and he got a bat burger. That's the day. I mean, come on, right? Come on. But you see, if they stop you from questioning something at the start, you don't get to go the next level because anything after that is off limits. Think about this. When the lab leak theory first happened, the idea of COVID-19, it came out of a lab and you were told this is conspiracy stuff. Joy Reid said it was debunked bunkum. And there you hear Chris Hayes going on there about this. It's literally impossible for it to come out of a lab. Okay. If they had all said back then, and they knew it came from a lab, and they lied, and they covered this up, and this is why Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor, you always have to say that by law. That's why him and the emails with Peter Daszak and all these other people, they're all there covering this up, because if it came from a lab, and then you trace the money, and you find out we paid for it with our taxpayer dollars, and you go, why the hell are we doing this? And then you have to ask the question, why did China send all these people on planes with COVID around the world when they were supposedly locking down Wuhan in the winter of 2020. Why does that happen? And then you have to raise the other possibility that maybe this is China participating in a war against the United States of America. But before you get to that level, you've been shut down from the idea that it's racist to come up with the idea that it came from a lab. Now, this is critical here. It is not racist to suggest that the eating habits of the people of Wuhan are so filthy and disgusting that they could start a global pandemic. But it is racist to suggest that they could accidentally leak out of a lab. And I don't mean to imply that it was an accident, because I have no way of knowing if it was an accident. And I'm very much of the mindset it could have been intentional. Remember, China's not really too worried about their people. This is part of the thing about communist countries. Like, they're not big on, they're not pro people. But before you can get to that next level, they immediately shut it down. Right then and there, they go, boom, that's it. Everybody comply. Corporate media, big tech, government work together, and then they silence you from questioning things at the next level. This is important because we keep seeing it happen. And it happened again with the masks, and it happened again with vaccine mandates, and it happened again with whether or not our kids should be back in school. The powers, the elites, all work together. They collude. And you and I get censored in the process. They're doing it again with the idea of misinformation and disinformation. And I'm going to tell you what happens if Kamala Harris wins. I'm going to tell you exactly what happens. The disinformation / misinformation board will come back into being, and they will begin to police the internet, and they will aggressively go after whatever they decide to be untruth. Whatever they decide is untruth. Now, I don't even know if that's an actual word in terms of the English language, but I think it's the best way to describe it. They'll just decide, it's very Orwellian, this is an untruth. Because they will determine what is truth. Now, think about that for a moment. What is truth? We know what truth is. We understand the concept of truth. But we are supposed to live, I thought, in our life by embracing truth, truth for its own sake. Not anymore. Not anymore. You have to embrace lies all the time. Go back to the transgender issue for a second. You have to embrace the lie that a boy is really a girl, that a biological boy can be a girl. And the lie that he could also compete with that girl fairly on a level playing field. You have to embrace that lie. And if you don't embrace that lie, you are belittled and criticized and mocked. That will soon be hate speech. If the Democrats get their way, understand that that will be banned as hate speech. You'll be engaging in not only untruths from their perspective, but hate speech as well. It'll be the double whammy on that. Much like how the COVID lab leak was, they said it was racist and also misinformation. They're like, well, it can't come from a lab, but it's also racist to suggest that it did. Obviously, it was the filthy eating habits of disgusting people of Wuhan. That's how we got this pandemic. All to cover up the money trail and then the possibility that China could have engaged here in biowarfare. Why are we ruling out the fact that China engaged in biowarfare? You know why? Because the minute that they tell you something's crazy, people go, oh, I don't want to go down the next level because I'm already being called crazy. And then they go, well, I'll just stop and I'll retreat. No, that's done on purpose. Same thing with the Hunter Biden laptop story. The truth about the Hunter Biden laptop story is so much more complicated when you think about it. Here you have this notion of the government actively engaged in trying to influence the 2020 presidential election. The 2020 presidential election had the most election interference I've ever seen in my lifetime. The only one before that was the 2016 election, when you had Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, two lovebirds at the FBI and the DOJ, colluding to try to stop Trump. Remember the famous exchange between the two lovers, probably after a hot and heavy hotel room makeout session? He can't be president. Don't worry. He won't be. We'll stop him. Yeah, the government trying to stop citizens from becoming president of the United States of America is a very, very scary place to be. When the government of the United States of America engaged in the Hunter Biden laptop story, it wasn't just a matter of collusion. It wasn't just a matter of collusion. Excuse me, I'm being interrupted by a text message. Hold on, please. 1 second. I don't like when I get interrupted by text messages. Hang on. 1 second. Can I share this with everybody, though? Hang on. Are you free to join us in our studio panel this Saturday, October 19th, from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m.? That's Jimmy Failla texting me. Actually, his booker, Rebecca, texting me. No, I will not do it. How dare you interrupt my show? Absolutely not. I will definitely not go on Fox Across America this Saturday night, October 19th, with Jimmy Failla on Fox News Channel, because you had the audacity to interrupt my train of thought. And with my attention span, I have no idea where I was even going. So Matt DeSantis, do me a favor. Write back to them and say, hell no, I will not. No, sir, I will not, sir. How dare you? Actually, honey, if you're listening, can I go on Fox News Saturday night? Or can we get out of our plans? We were supposed to go to the Union League with some people for dinner, and I had to blow them off the last time to go on his show. So that's actually this Saturday night. We're supposed to be at a dinner with some friends at the Union League, including my wife's boss. So, and I know that one of the people listening right now, Vince, is listening to the show right now. So I got to have to get permission. So we'll do that during the break. But there's a very high. I'm just going to tell him. You know, I'm going to tell him no. I'm going to tell him right now. No, no, I'm not doing it. No way. Fox. What? I don't need 3 million people watching me on a Saturday night. Matt DeSantis. Who needs that pressure? You know what I mean? Who needs that?
The nice thing is, if you bail on the plans, they know that you're not making something up. Like, oh, you weren't just sitting at home watching TV or reading a book.
That's a good point, because if you fake to get out of plans, like, well, why can't you make it? I'm going to be on national television at 10 o'clock. And then they turn it on and you're not on there. It's like, well, that kind of kind of caught you in a lie. You could fake certain things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I got COVID. I can't come. You know what I mean? Like, what are you going to send me a test? But that's one. It's hard to fake because people will watch that and go, well, you're not. Where are you? You're not on the panel. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So the people
right there.
And they'll probably wind up watching the show instead of being at dinner with me. So
if they wanted, they could watch the show while they were at dinner, and it would be like having dinner with Rich Zeoli.
Kind of like dinner theater, actually, like that.
Yeah, sort of.
All right. Let me write back Rebecca right now. Should we do this right now and say, absolutely not. Hell no. Hell no, I have plans. I have plans. Just kidding. Of course. All right. I should probably ask my wife, but I already texted them back and said I can do the show. All right. So I'm going to take a quick break. I got to take care of some domestic business at home. And then I'm going to come back. So why don't we...
Better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Yeah, it's better to do that than do the other thing. So let me... we'll take a quick break. I got to make a quick phone call. And I'll come right back. All right? And that's what we'll do. Stay with us. We're streaming live on YouTube. And that's going to be a lot of fun for all of us as we continue along with the show today. I do want to tell you, though... Dr. Mike Veneria has his Veterans Breakfast coming up. Mark your calendar, all right? 215. I'm giving out the station number. It's 855 anyway. What am I doing? I'm so distracted by how much trouble I'm going to be in at home that I'm distracted by everything at this moment. So let me try this live read again. After your wife punches you in the face because she's angry at you that she said yes when you already had plans to go on national television and you had a break dinner with her boss and her husband, and your wife slaps you and you lose a tooth. Call Dr. Mike Veneria. He's the master of helping men get their teeth back after their wife has said, how dare you? And he could also help you with any of your other implant dentistry needs as well. Just go to VeneriaDental.com. That's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020. He's a great guy and a great friend. And on Saturday, November 9th, he has his Veterans Breakfast and free shredding event. Come out and honor all the men and women who have served us and served our country. Get some cake, coffee, donuts, and pizza. Bring your documents that need shredding, and Dr. Mike Veneria will take great care of you. And if you need an implant, if you need a new smile, please reach out to Dr. Mike today. He is our family dentist, and he is the man, the master of dental implants, and a great guy. Join us for that breakfast on Saturday, November 9th, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, yes. Crazy women songs for my friend who's dating a whack job. We got some good ones, too. In fact, I was looking on the YouTube chat. We are streaming live on YouTube right now. YouTube.com/1210WPHT. And my buddy Jen McLean Fitness, Criminal by Fiona Apple. Well done. Nicely done. I Hate Myself for Loving You by Joan Jett. Thank you, Minnie. That's a good one, too. Chris Appolito, I Used to Love Her by Guns N' Roses, but that also implies that you had to kill her. And I think it would be the other way around in this relationship, where she would kill him, because that's what we're dealing with here. So thank you. Keep the songs coming for my buddy who's now dating a certified whack job. Not as certified as certifiable as Olivia Newsy, apparently, but pretty, pretty, pretty close. All right. Before I got so distracted, I was talking about misinformation and disinformation. I want to just make this very, very clear to you. We are living in a very dangerous time. You know me. I'm not a guy who's big on the doom and gloom and, you know, this is the most important election of our lifetime. And I really think we are at a crossroads here. I mean this. It's like what I said to you in 2016. In 2016, I said to you, the crossroads we're at right now is that there's going to be four Supreme Court justices that the next president's going to appoint. And Hillary Clinton appointing those justices will change the country for the next 100 years. And I at the time I was imploring people, my fellow conservatives, to vote for Donald Trump. I said, I don't care, you know, hold your nose and vote for the guy, please. You got to do it over the courts. There was a lot of bitterness in that primary. Everybody now acts like they were with Trump from day one, and that's fine, it's okay. But back then it was a different story, as we, you know, some of us remember. But my point is, I believe we are at the same crossroads right now when it comes to this issue of information, misinformation, and disinformation. And here's my big worry, and this kind of puts a bow on everything I've been talking about throughout the whole hour here. I know sometimes people like Jimmy on the YouTube chat thinks that my mind, I talk in circles and I don't get there. I get there eventually. Using executive fiat, just like they've done with the transgender issue, just like they've done with the windmills, just like they've done with the EVs, the administration will use executive fiat to crack down on freedom of speech, particularly online speech. And the preview we got of that was during the hurricane, and they came out and said all of this was misinformation and disinformation. They love their national emergencies, and they love their power during national emergencies. Think about the power that they exercised over all of us during COVID-19. Think about it, right? Ordering us around, locking us in our homes, having neighbors call the cops on their fellow neighbors, forcing us to wear masks. You have to have a shot if you want to go out to dinner or work in many cases. The level of control that the government will impose upon its citizens in tyranny whenever there's a crisis, they will use that crisis as the motivating factor for them to clamp down on freedom. Tyrants hate freedom. They hate liberty. And yes, liberty and freedom are two distinct concepts. So I don't have time to get into it at the moment, but they are two distinct concepts. But it's regardless, the left hates both of those things. Both of those things are a challenge to their absolute control. Now, in the next administration, if Kamala Harris becomes president, what we will see is this country will forever change because of this issue of information and the governing of information. It will be a seismic shift in America that we will probably never be able to fully recover from, because with that comes control over other things as well. Things that we haven't even thought of yet. Things that we can't fully comprehend at the moment. But that's the crossroads we're at right now. And I think the great example that I can give you with that is just look at who Donald Trump pals around with. You know, they always say in life that you can judge somebody by the character of the company that they keep. So Trump's hanging around with Elon Musk. Elon Musk is a guy who said, we are going to open up all the Twitter files and expose all the government censorship of the American people. And that's what he did. And what happens? Matt Taibbi, the IRS, knocks on his door and they go, hey, Matt, we want to chat, just the day that he's testifying before the House Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of Government. Who does Kamala Harris pal around with? Tim Walz. What did Tim Walz say? Well, he said, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. Actually, you can. And he also came out and said that the First Amendment is not absolute. And he came out and was the guy who said hate speech is illegal and disinformation should not be protected by the First Amendment. Well, how do you define hate speech and how do you define disinformation? They'll define it for us. If they win, they will define those things. They will define those terms for us. This is incredibly important. In 2016, the issue was the Supreme Court. In 2024, the issue right now is information. It is the control of that information. And if Kamala Harris wins, this country will forever change because of that issue. Just like in 2016, had Hillary Clinton won that election, America would have fundamentally changed because of the makeup of the Supreme Court. And that's what worries me about this election. Now, the good news is I think Trump is going to win. I'm not going to get overly cocky about this, though. I'm cocky about other things, obviously, but not this, because I don't want to take anything for granted. I got a lot more to say on this issue of freedom of speech, information, the battle for censorship, the battle for information and disinformation. We're just getting warmed up, baby. I'm glad you're here. Streaming live on YouTube, 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.